name of the God of the entire universe, whose kindness is profound, whose mercy is everlasting. One of the serious objections people have against the teachings of Islam is that Islamic law requires death as a punishment for apostasy. In other words, if there is an individual who had been a Muslim, and after being a Muslim, he declares himself to be a non-Muslim, then he must be punished by death. It is claimed that this is a unanimously agreed to understanding of the Muslims. The problem with this understanding is that if it is accepted as true and correct, then what it would mean is that the Muslims are practicing double standards. On the one hand, they are inviting the non-Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the Hindus, and the others to enter the fold of Islam. And on the other hand, they are telling all others that, look here, as far as we Muslims are concerned, there is no possibility that we would ever allow any of our fellow believer to leave Islam and enter any other religion. If he or she is going to do it and dare do it, then the person is going to be killed. Is it really what the Quran says? The fact of the matter is that the Quran does not mention any punishment for apostasy. For example, in verse 54 of the fifth chapter of the Quran, Al-Ma'idah, the Almighty does mention the fact that some people might actually turn their back on Islam and return to their religion of forefathers. But the Quran does not mention any punishment for them, but goes on to say that such people are going to meet with God's displeasure on the Day of Judgment. Why then is it that while on the one hand the Quran is completely silent about the fact that any punishment is going to be meted out to the apostates, while on the other hand, the Muslims seem to be almost unanimous in their understanding that there is death for apostasy. The reason is that in the Ahadith, the statements attributed to the Prophet, may Allah's mercy be on him, there is a mention wherein the Prophet is reported to have said that if these people leave Islam, then kill them. So that it is an understanding which is based on hadith. Now the important point of clarification that needs to be made with regard to the sources of understanding in Islam is this, that the Quran, the book of God, which has been fully preserved, is the basic text. Everything else has to be understood and interpreted in the light of the Quran. Most certainly there could be other sources which could give us additional pieces of information which could be important for religious matters. But if there is an information coming to us from outside the Quran which happens to conflict with the Quran, then it is the Quranic understanding which has got always to prevail. One should always attempt to make sure that all mentions in Ahadith are understood in the light of the Quran. It is our experience that in most of the cases, the statements attributed to the Prophet can be clarified in the light of the understanding of the Quran. So that it's important that the Quranic judgment should hold supreme. Now, when we read the Quran, we know that the Quran tells us that the messengers of God, the Rasul, whose plural is Rusul, whenever they came to this world, they came with a clear understanding and mandate that if their enemies are going to persist with their enmity and rejection of God's message, sooner or later, they will meet with God's punishment. This is something which the Quran mentions most emphatically and goes on to narrate stories after stories of the messengers over and over again to show that that is exactly how it happened. Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him, was likewise a messenger of God. Therefore, his disbelievers, people who rejected him, who were his enemies, were to receive the punishment of death by the Almighty, either through natural calamities or through the swords of the companions of the messenger. This is the law of the Almighty, which always has got to be implemented when it comes to the nation of those who receive messengers directly. So, the people of Mecca and its surroundings who received the last messenger of God directly, they had no choice but to either believe or ultimately receive the punishment of death. So, if some of them believed so as to get spared from being punished to death, when they would decide to disbelieve after their belief, would decide to return to their earlier religion after having accepted the message of God, their punishment had to again be death. So that when we understand this hadith of the Prophet in the light of the Quran, it becomes very clear that the statement of the Prophet is true and correct, but is applicable not universally, but to the people who were the immediate addressees and recipients of the message of God coming through to them through the messenger of God. This verdict is not applicable to any peoples of the other times. This is because the Quran is absolutely clear that there are only two reasons why a person could be killed. It could either be a killer who could be killed in retribution for his act of murder, and that too can only be done by an Islamic state, not by individuals. Or it could be an individual who is found guilty of causing mischief, chaos and disorder on earth. Through his mischievous acts, he is causing the life, the honor or the property of the common citizens to be endangered by his acts. These are the two categories of people who can be killed by an Islamic state after their crime has been proven by the court of law. For no other reason, the Quran allows anyone to kill anyone else, and goes on to say that if somebody kills a soul, it is as if he has killed the entire mankind. Therefore, when we understand the hadith in the light of the Quran, we come to learn about the fact that the popular understanding that there is death for apostasy in Islam is as incorrect as it is popular. May God Almighty enable us to understand the proper message of Islam, and may He enable us to follow it as best as is possible.